And hello, everyone. Welcome to the Atlanta Falcons Falconcast podcast. I'm Matt Moore. Jay Adams is to my left, and as you can see, we've expanded. We've done some renovations. We've extended our property here at Falconcast Podcast, and we're very excited to introduce a new addition to the AtlantaFalcons.com, Atlanta Falcons digital media staff. Reed Farron is here, and Reed, we're super excited to have you here. We've been excited, and we've known for a while you were going to come here, and welcome to the Falconcast, and thanks for joining us. Why don't you tell the fans a little bit about your background, because we know it, but tell the fans a little bit about it.
Appreciate it, guys. It's exciting to be here. Obviously, I came via, I served as the Chiefs insider for the last year and a half at Kansas City. Prior to that, I worked in Minneapolis as a freelance writer-reporter. Before that, at ESPN, and prior to that, at Florida State, working as a Seminoles.com video reporter and a website producer.
Well, that's great, and you know, it's kind of fun. We brought a lot of people from the Chiefs.
Yeah,
here.
I was just going to say, we just stole another one.
This is Chiefs South, as we have here in Atlanta.
Changing up from Jacksonville.
We'll get into it a little bit later about some of the guys that you are familiar with that are now in the Falcons. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're really excited. Jay, why don't you talk a little bit more about what Reed will be doing, you know, for our website this year and you know, how he will fit into the role of just bringing fans even more content and, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Reed has, as he said, an impressive background. So we're going to tap into that as much as possible and have him here on the podcast and writing articles daily for you guys on AtlantaFalcons.com and just covering all aspects of the team. So we're super excited to have him this year, and obviously it's a big year for all of us with – you know, Hard Knocks and a lot of expectations on the football side of things. You know, there's new stadium construction going on, and so a lot of different things going on, and Reed's going to have a hand in all of it. So
it is a packed, there's so much content that we want to share with the fans and with the our audience, and bringing Reed in will even enhance that more, because you know, there's no shortage of stories. There's no shortage of behind the scenes as we kick up training camp and take it on into the season. So it's going to be great to have you here. So let's jump right into it. Jay posed a really interesting question. And as you saw a couple weeks ago, we had soccer fever. We had our USA mm-hmm. gear on. Unfortunately, we did all we could. I was hoping for the extra time PKs. Mm. But it was not meant to be. But I really, you know, as someone who is a soccer fan, and we do some stuff with MLS Atlanta, it was really fun to watch soccer fever really catch on. And so I think it was the most watched World Cup game on ESPN ever. So everyone watched Tim Howard stand on his head. The guy was incredible. It's one of the most greatest athletic performances I've seen in my time watching sports.
I was actually going to ask that as I was talking to my dad on the phone earlier this week, and I said, you know, Dad, I really feel like I witnessed like one of the best sports performances of my lifetime. And you know, I'm not like you. I don't follow soccer as much. I get into it in the World Cup, but Matt's like a true fanatic, so maybe I just haven't seen enough of the sport to truly understand. But 16 saves seems just amazing.
Yeah, and it is. And what's really cool, just what you're exactly right about, is, you know, Belgium, if you don't follow soccer closely, Belgium is an all-star team. I mean, every one of their guys plays in the Premier League on the best of the best around the world. Champions League games, I mean, you know, the guy who scored that second goal is a teammate of Tim Howard's, actually. And, mm-hmm. and all their guys are at Man City. You know, their captain company is a Man City. They got Man U. But no one was talking about Belgium after the game, and they're going to go play Argentina now. Right. Everyone was talking about Tim Howard. And your question was pretty cool. Which player currently on the Falcons roster is most like U.S. national team goalie Tim Howard? You know, thinking clutch, coming up big in games, reliable. It's your guy when it's in the fourth quarter. You kind of have a feeling it's going to that guy. And I'll let you start, Jay, because you actually took mine, so I got another one.
Okay.
But that's exactly who I thought of when you came up with it.
Yeah, I think when you talk about clutch and you talk about fourth quarter and you talk about who's your go-to guy and who's the guy who's going to kind of carry you, for me, you look at a career resume like Roddy White's and you see all the different things that he's done in his career. And if you want to, like, break it down and – come real close view in recent memory. You think about, you know, 2012, that fourth down situation you're facing against Carolina, and you absolutely have to do something in the final minute of the game. What do? You throw a 60-yard bomb, and Roddy White comes down with a spectacular catch. Another time I'm thinking about is 2010, and we all remember the San Francisco 49ers game when all was lost on a last-minute interception, and Roddy White came from absolutely out of nowhere to force a fumble, get the ball back into the Falcons' hands, and next thing you know, Matt Ryan and company just go down the field and end up winning it. For me, I mean, Roddy White is just that guy, and even – you know, this year you talk about Julio Jones kind of being that marquee wide receiver, maybe stepping more into that spotlight role. But for me, it's still, you know, fourth quarter, I want the ball in Roddy White's hands.
That was absolutely who I was thinking based on that 49ers play where you're just like, whoa, yeah. Well, he just did that for us. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He just won the game for us.
Yeah.
Reed, you've had a little bit of time to study this roster and kind of get familiar with the Falcons. I'd be interested to hear your answer to this question.
I'm definitely drinking the Julio Jones Kool-Aid. We're sticking with Julio the whole way. Well, let's talk about 2011, rookie season against the Colts. Now, granted, it wasn't World Cup clutch-wise as far as a game, but stepping in near the goal line, Matty Ice finds Julio. Between two defenders, comes up with the grab. Again, it wasn't clutch. It was a 31-7 win by the Falcons, but nonetheless showcasing instant ability by Julio. Another couple catches I was thinking about, the Monday Nighter against the Jets, obviously, the one-hander, Monday Night Football, just brings it in. It's like taking candy from a baby against the defense. I mean, he trains catching tennis balls, so what's a leather pigskin? Nothing to Julio.
And, you know, I like that answer a lot because that was probably – I'm going to throw you one real quick. Julio would have been right there if I didn't pick this guy, but when we were watching that game, the best player on the field was Tim Howard the other day. Around all the great talent. And a lot of times when you're watching the game, it's clear that Julio Jones is the best talent out there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's, you know, that's a great answer. Real quick, I was just going to say William Moore is a guy who's almost like a goalie back there. He's your last line of defense at safety. But, you know, will also come out of the box like Tim Howard and make the WWE style tackles, you know, and then everyone can put, you know, Jim Ross commentary behind him.
He killed him.
Yeah. My God.
My God.
Yeah. He broke him in half. I was right there. But, you know, also making, you know, clutch interceptions. It seems like whenever you need a big defensive stop, Willie Moe, number 25, is right in the mix of that. So, you know, like you said, Tim Howard was, it's great that we're recognizing him because that was just a fantastic performance. And, it's fun to make comparisons to guys like that because I think Roddy, Julio, and William Moore are very cool to compare to that.
You know, fans out there, I can read their minds right now. They're going to be like, how can you have this conversation without talking about Matt Bryan?
Yeah, the one guy who doesn't touch the ball with his hands.
Exactly, the one who actually kicks the football. I mean, he's absolutely in the conversation. I mean, just the amount of wins that he's pulled out for the Falcons. You talk about the NFC divisional game that you won over Seattle a couple of years ago. I mean, just ice water in his veins, and he's absolutely in that conversation as well. Absolutely. I think we'll say it's Rob's pick. Rob, is that your pick?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Rob's pick.
Did you hear that?
So we're all covered.
Yeah,
so.
Right? And now someone's going to be like, hey, what about Jonathan Babin? No. All right, here we go. So let's open up the mailbag here. You know, there's a sound effect. But we're going to take some more questions. And I just want to say the fans, you guys have had some really good questions. I've enjoyed hearing from you guys, and we're going to keep doing this as we continue. So, good. We got some hard Twitter handles. It kind of – this is Isosceles Kramer with a 3 is the E. So there we go. Thanks for that awesome Twitter handle. Which rookie, if any, will have the most impact besides Matthews, Hageman, and Freeman?
You know, for me, just looking at – OTAs, looking at the offseason program, looking at the comments that we've heard from the coaching staff. For me, it's Prince Shembo, I think, by a long shot. I think this is a guy, he's been mentioned so many different times by coaches that you can't ignore the desire, I think, of this coaching staff to want to have him on the field in some kind of role. So, you know, for me, I think it's Is he going to play inside linebacker? He can play inside, he can play outside, he can play defensive end. I think now with Sean Weatherspoon's injury, you're going to see him much more at a inside linebacker spot. For me, though, I think Joplo Bartu kind of has the edge there, so training camp will be really pivotal for Shembo to truly show that, hey, this is something that I can take on. But I still see him coming in some sub packages, being a vital part of the defense, but also a vital part of special teams. So for me, it's Prince Shembo.
Who doesn't like an underdog story? Love the underdog. I'm going to go with Tyler Starr. Hey. Seventh rounder. Might have a little bit of a Midwest bias. Graduated from South Dakota. Finesse player. Has a high speed acceleration. You guys have seen him more in OTAs and rookie minicamp and whatnot. But you got to cheer for the rookie coming in, seventh rounder. All odds are against him, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be a profile player coming with Hard Knocks.
Yeah, he's the second to last pick in the 2014 NFL draft, so he's Mr. Less Irrelevant.
Not quite irrelevant.
He's got the look, too. Everyone's he's got the look. Kind of grabs on to him. Long hair.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of.
Former basketball champion, state high school.
Yeah, and you talk about a motor guy, and he came out, and I think in rookie minicamp, and I think he showed that among the rookie club, he is maybe a step above. You get him into situations now where he's facing NFL veterans, and it's a different story. You know, there's a huge learning curve when you go from facing your fellow rookies to facing guys who have been in the league for 5, 6, 7 years. So it'll be interesting to see how he progresses during training camp. I think he's a great story, I think for him, special teams is really where he could be a real stud.
And just to continue the streak of every podcast, we've talked about Desmond Southward, so I'll continue to do that. I think that's one person to look at. I've said it every week on special teams. I think he's going to be so much fun to watch on special teams, and he's going to compete. It's all about competition and for safety. So that's a great question. Let's get to the next one from Rob Magp. Is the O-line really better than last year?
It's a
very simple question, but
it's a loaded question.
Take it away.
Well, you know, you made great strides, I think, in solving some of the issues that you had from an offensive line standpoint. I mean, you use your first round pick, number 6 overall. You bring in potentially the best offensive lineman to hit the draft in recent years. Jake Matthews is going to be your staple at right tackle this year. Who knows what the future holds, whether he'll shift over to left or whatever, but we know this year right tackle is going to be the spot for him. I think that solves a gigantic problem. But we mentioned this before we actually went on air, is that the one guy who's being overlooked right now, and we've tried to talk about him a little bit, but he's just being overlooked so much, is John Ezemoa. And I think that was such a huge free agent acquisition this offseason by Thomas Dimitroff and his staff. And luckily enough, we've got Reed, who was a Chiefs insider. So Reed knows John Ezemoa, and I really want you to kind of give maybe some of your perspective on covering John for the time that you did and just seeing him play and kind of what he brings, both run blocking and pass blocking.
I'm telling you, right there is what John wants. He wants to stay under the radar. He's a very quiet. He's like the silent assassin, mm-hmm. quiet guy, hard hat, lunch pail, bring his lunch pail to work, blue collar guy, comes into the locker room, puts his pads on, goes out, does his business, comes home and leaves. Like mm-hmm. he's not a verbal guy. He will be if he has to, but again, last year played in 12 games, 9 starts. He missed 2 games because of injury, but all indications, he's healthy, clear. He's ready for this next fresh, and I know he's excited. I talked to him before he left the Chiefs. He was just awaiting the best opportunity in the offseason. Boom, ends up here with the Falcons. He's ready to roll.
And it didn't take long. I mean, the Falcons, the word came out like almost as soon as the clock hit 4 that John Ezemoa was on his way along with Tyson Jackson and Paul Soliai. So, I mean, he was part of this package that, was an immediate addition for the Falcons. And you think about Falcons fans, seriously, think about the last couple of years at the right guard spot and how much turnover and how much inconsistency you've had there. I can think of like 3 or 4 different players, maybe even 5, who have been in that position at some point during a regular season game. And now you've got a guy who's going to come in, and that's going to be his spot. And he's going to do a really good job at it.
Well, John wants to be the gate stopper. He wants to be the gate closer. He wants that gate to quit opening and closing. He'll love to take that shot and make the most of the opportunity.
Reed, while we're on it, why don't you go ahead and talk about, you know, we've, like we said, we've got, you know, a lot of Chiefs here. You know, Tyson Jackson, Javier Arenas. Would you talk about those guys a little bit, you know, since you've been able to see them closer than we have?
Yeah, I got to meet and know Javier real briefly when I first started with the Chiefs before he was traded to Arizona. But obviously, being an Alabama guy, strong, talented, quick. At 5'9", obviously, he lacks a little bit of the height, but he makes up for it in his speed and his confidence. Loves the attack style. He's not afraid to take on a receiver up close, press a little bit, but obviously that's not his strong point. But he doesn't lack in confidence, and he'll look to make the most. We've talked off camera about hopefully vying for a spot in the nickel package, but we'll see how he progresses in training camp. Tyson Jackson, best season last year as far as sacks-wise, had 4 sacks in the 2013 season under Andy Reid, the regime last year, the greatest turnaround for their franchise. But now he's more excited to get down here. I knew, again, talking end of season last year, he wasn't sure of what his situation was going to be. Picture perfect. He ended up here in Atlanta. He's had experience in the 3-4 again, seeing where Coach Nolan's going to fit him and maximize his talents. But he can rush the passer. He can stuff the run. And I know that's what Falcon fans want to see.
And it's like, oh, sorry.
Let me just bring up this one point is that, you know, the pass rush has always been the hot button issue here with Falcons fans over the last couple of years. But, you know, let's not forget the issues that the Falcons had in stopping the run. Mm-hmm. And you bring in a Tyson Jackson who he had 4 sacks last year. That's awesome. But that's not what he's known for. He's right. Not known for his pass rush. Mm-hmm. What do you see a guy like him and his run-stopping ability bringing to a team that ranked 32nd in stopping the run last year?
First thing that jumps off the page is his strength and his size. I know you guys have talked about on the previous podcast just an enormous human being that he is. Strength, his work ethic in the weight room, he's always there, first guy in, last guy out. And he's a smart player. Like, that's the defensive line I talked to last year. They were amazed by his ability to pick up a new defensive scheme that Coach Brazier brought in with, and Coach Sutton brought in with the Chiefs last year. Picks things up quick, which I think he's done here so far. You guys have seen and talked to him. So his intelligence, his size, and he's got great footwork. And he's also diligent about, he's cut down his body frame as far as fat-wise. He wants all muscle. He's diligent in the restaurant. He's keeping to eat what he's supposed to eat. And he wants to make 2014 the best year yet.
Seems like all three of those guys, lunch pail kind of guys. You know, you bring your lunch pail to work, blue collar.
Absolutely. They weren't about themselves. They're about the team, and I know they'll do the exact same thing here with the Falcons. Just come in, learn the playbook. Locker room guys. Love the locker room, and they're cutting it up with their teammates. But when it's time to turn the business side on, it's all business on the field with those guys come Sunday.
All right. Winning question. And here we go. I told you, no more bucket hats. But got a signed helmet, and I'll tell you who it's from after. Well, who it's from is what your question's about. The winning question is from CHAS87. What are you seeing from True Font and Alfred this offseason? With the full offseason, how good can they be? So the winner, Mr. CHAS, you get a signed Desmond True Font mini helmet. So
that's
Jay,
great.
Why don't you go take it away on that question?
Yeah, so True Font and Alfred, I mean, these are kind of like your cornerstones, I mean, to use a term, as your cornerstones of your defense, because these guys are going to be relied on for a long time. There's a reason you take a guy like True Font in the first round, and then you follow it up and take Alfred right back-to-back in the second round. I think, you know, these guys are – that was the message that the Falcons sent to both of these guys when they took them, is that you guys are going to be cornerstones of our defense for a very long time. And you think back about the rookie seasons that both of these guys had. True Font had 6 interceptions. Alfred had a couple, making big athletic plays. And Alfred did so without even having a starting spot, really, because he was kind of working in with Asante Samuel as he kind of went through a couple of injuries. But you've got the benefit of a full offseason with Desmond True Font, specifically because the Pac-12 has that weird quarter system with college. And so him and Levine Toilolo had to miss part of the offseason program because they had to go finish their degrees, which is awesome. But now you get them with the full benefit of that offseason. And I think True Font specifically is just learning so much more in this time. He kind of had to get fast-tracked last year and still ended up putting together great performances. But, you know, specifically Alfred, I like that he's just going to be thrust into the spotlight because I think he likes the spotlight. He is, you know, you talk about cornerbacks and, like, the personalities, right? We used to talk about all the time wide receivers had that kind of, you know, flamboyant personality. I feel like Alford is kind of fitting into that new Richard Sherman kind of mold.
The word you're looking for is swag, I believe. Swag. Right?
That's what the kids say. Yeah. See, I'm getting too old at this point. I don't know the terms anymore. But that's kind of the way I see Robert Alford, is that he's got a lot of confidence in himself. And I think he's going to show that on the field, and especially if he's thrust into a spotlight role like he's going to be this year. So for me, I'm expecting gigantic things from both of these guys.
You stole my word. I was going to use swag. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Jason's not hip enough.
It's all that heavy metal music I'm listening to.
That's right. With Desmond Trufant, I'll speak more to him because I watched and followed him at the Senior Bowl a couple years back, and swag is definitely the adjective that best describes him. Like, you couldn't walk around the field without hearing him talk, mm-hmm. the chatter, and you could see his teammates rally around that. Like, there's nothing about him that lacks a lack of confidence. He was all about being up in the faces, press coverage, dropping back deep. His speed is unbelievable. The makeup speed, if anyone were to get by him. But confidence breeds success. And when you're out there playing, like, you walk a big game, you talk a big game, he does it both.
Yeah, and who can forget in the Senior Bowl, I think it was Robert Alford was on a return for a very long kick return, and who chased him down but Desmond Trufant.
Right.
So those two guys got to know each other a little bit.
Yeah, it was cool that both those guys were at the Senior Bowl. I remember one of the scouts told us, you know, hey, we took the first best guy at the Senior Bowl with the first round, and then we just took the second best guy at the Senior Bowl with our second pick. So cool that both those guys were there and kind of continue, and like you said, can be the cornerstones for a while to come. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Falcon Cast. Congrats to CHAS87 and Reed. As we said again, we're great. We're super excited to have you here. Thanks for joining us. And fans, you guys should be very excited for what Reed is going to bring to the AtlantaFalcons.com. So thanks again for tuning into this edition of Falcon Cast. We'll see you next week.